I love kids and I like them a lot, and I like to share Jesus with them. And we are called to serve, and it's fun to serve in that way.
So cute. Hey, can we give it up for Leia Iman and our kids' ministry volunteers that do such an awesome job? All right, this is the second part of the two-parter, Who, Me, Yes, You. Last Sunday, there was somebody that was up the steps, and they were waving, and I thought they were waving at me. I was like, oh, hey, and they're like, they kind of waved me off. No, not you. Hey, you know how dumb you feel whenever you jump in intercepting someone's wave? Okay, today, this is you. We're waving at all of you. This includes you. This is for you and about how we get to join in God's great work when we serve, and we're looking at what happens when you serve. Let me begin with this story, and it's a true story. Sometimes you'll be like, was that a real one? This is a real one. There's a gal that came to a church in midweek, I guess. She's a Muslim woman. She came and she was wondering about the Christian faith, and she was struggling, honestly, with her Islamic faith. And so she was just wanting to kind of really put it away and be done with it so that it would help solidify her faith in Islam. Anyways, so she comes to the church and she says, would I be allowed to come to your church? And so Brennan, this pastor, and he's in California, Brennan goes, hey, we'd love for you to come. Yes, absolutely. And she goes, but can I come dressed like this? I mean, she's the hijab, the head covering, head to toe, totally covered. And they're like, absolutely, you come in the way that you believe would honor God the most. Whatever's most comfortable for you, we would love for you to come and join us. So she's like, okay, I think I'm going to play my trump card now. Okay, but wherever I go, I'm trying to check out this Christianity thing, but if I like it, it's not just that I want to come warm a seat. I want to get involved in wherever I am. Would you let me serve at your church? And Brennan goes, absolutely. In fact, if you're interested in serving, would you like to welcome people at the front door when they come? And she goes, dressed like this? And he said, absolutely. She thought that was her get out of jail card almost. And so she's just absolutely floored. And she goes, okay. She goes, well, you know, I want to check it out before I ever serve. And he goes, I was going to suggest that. And he goes, why don't you just come to the next service? The service times this day, blah, blah, blah. And so she does. She comes and she drives and she pulls in. She parks in a spot. She gets out of her car. She starts to walk through the parking lot. And this guy goes, hey, so glad to have you. Anything I can help you with? Do you know where the main doors are? And she goes, yeah, I know the way. I'm okay. I just want to come to check out a service. And he goes, well, sweet. I will see you in there. We're glad to have you. And she just thought, that was really chipper. That's a little too chipper, maybe. Are they really this friendly, or is he just kind of faking it? So she gets to the main doors, and I just kind of imagine ours. And she gets to the main doors, and like ours, there's a lot of times people collecting right there and congregating. She walks up, and a gal peels off and comes directly to her and says, hey, how can I help? I'm so glad that you're here. Can I take you on inside? And she's like, sure, that'd be great. And she goes, well, hey, as you see, this lobby, but there's where you can get coffee, donuts, or whatever the snack thing is, and what's tea, whatever. There's that. There's restrooms over there. There's information center there. There's the auditorium. And she's like, anything I can help you with? And she goes, no, I just want to go check out the worship service. And she's like, hey, I'll see you in there. We're so glad to have you. And she's like, are they all like this? She gets to the doors, and someone hands her the program for the day. And they're like, hey, here you go. Come on in. We're so excited to have you with us. And she's like, golly. She goes and she sits down, and pretty soon she's reading through because she's inspecting everything. So she's reading through the program, and then all of a sudden someone comes up. And they do the welcome, the greeting. Oh, if you're a guest, we're so glad to have you. We got a gift for you. Heard all that stuff here today. You have, as long as it's not your first time. If it's your first time, whatever. You did hear it today. I digress. So she hears all this stuff. And at the end, they said, okay, now it's F3. F3 at this church is called Forced Family Fun. You know what that is? The handshake greeting time. Why don't you go and stand on up and greet those next to you if you'd like to do so? And so because everyone else, don't you like forced family fun? That sounds better. I like that. That sounds better than just greet each other. Anyways, and so everyone else stands up, so she stood up. She didn't know what to do. And a gal comes up, and instead of the gal coming up and putting her hand out, the lady just goes and hugs her. And this is what she says. She said, it was, and I quote, it was like getting a hug from Jesus. She'd been met with so much kindness, generosity of compassion and love, and she just couldn't believe it. The lady that hugged her, hugs her, and then she says, can I sit by you? She said, yeah, that'd be great. She goes, I'll be right back, and maybe coffee, whatever it was. And she comes back, and she sits by the lady, and the music begins. And this lady, again, she's in this inspecting mode. She looked out at the crowd. She sees these hands lifted up. She sees eyes closed. She sees the expression on people's faces, and she's blown away. This is what she said. During that first song that she heard, after all those experiences that she just had, she said, God truly lives here. And during that song, she said, Jesus, you must be it. And she gave her life to Christ during the opening song of the church service. The point of it is this, is that she didn't hear the teaching time. She barely heard one song. She may not even know what the wholeness of the gospel is if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and asked him for forgiveness of your sins. Blah, blah. She didn't even get that part. She just received so much care and compassion through the service of others, she responded to Jesus immediately. So when we talk about serving, and today, yes, continuing on serving, what happens when you serve today? The first thing we're going to talk about is that when you serve, you get to be an extension of the gospel. You get to be an extension of the gospel to others. And yes, we're going to push the blue page. Yes, if you'd like to serve in some capacity, mark it on there. You can put it in the white basket that's there between the double doors. You can take it to Connection Center. But I do want to be as lovingly clear on this as possible. ACC's not hurting or dying for volunteers. The thing is, we're growing for them. Do you realize that we have almost 120 to 150 more now than we did at this time last year? God just keeps blessing and working in this place. What God is doing is absolutely marvelous, and we're really excited. And so, yes, I'm supposed to push some certain things, so let me kind of share these with you real quick. Pastor John Plasto, that leads our 8 a.m. service, he is in need or would just love to have more people in the choir, and he's really excited about that, and I believe we're going to get them, so thanks in advance. We need at least 5 more parking lot greeters because we have people that greet on this side, but we don't have anyone for the other entrance. And I don't know about you. Have you ever noticed it's kind of hard to park around here? Because there's just so many of you. It's fantastic. And so we'd like to station someone over there. So if that's an interest for you, put your name on there and say, express that, parking lot greeter. The 9:30 service, we need at least 15 more people at the 9:30. In this one, we could use a good half dozen more. It would be fantastic. I believe we're going to get them. And just kind of like expressing about that lady at Brennan Short's church, it was through the greeter ministry that broke through the defenses that this gal had that is now an ex-Muslim. Leah in kids ministry, the many others that are there, they need a dozen more. I believe that we will get them. Communion, Connection Center, this liquid magic called coffee. I believe all those will get fulfilled. And so thank you in advance. And there you go, blue piece of paper, Connection Center, or the white basket. With that said, would you stand with me? We have a high view of God and a high view of scripture. Would you stand as we honor God's word? You can follow along today also on the app if you'd like to do that. But let's read what Jesus has to say about serving. We're going to start in Luke 10, verse 30. And the reminder here is that this is right after the guy said he's challenging Jesus. So I call him a smart aleck. Anyways, the smart aleck goes, oh, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love God and love your neighbors yourself. So just wanting to push it one last time. Well, then who's my neighbor? And this is Jesus' response. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. They showed pity, but not compassion. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had, there it is, compassion. Verse 34, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he sat him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So then Jesus asks, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Would you pray with me? Jesus, help us. Whatever the next step is that we have, maybe it's to place our faith in you. Maybe it's to make a decision for baptism, a recommitment, join a group, serve, whatever it may be. Lord, may you make it clear and give us the courage to follow through it and help us to go and do likewise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. So number one, when we're talking about serving, when you serve, you get to be an extension of the gospel, number one. Number two, when you serve, you show others they matter. Will everyone repeat, show others they matter? That's pretty hearty. We'll check you on the third one. Thank you for that. You get to show people they matter. And that's what compassion is. And it's not pity. Pity is, oh, that's too bad. Compassion is, oh, it hurts enough for me to do something. Today, we'll use the word compassion in a way of, oh, that breaks my heart. But then in the ancient time, in Jesus' day, the Greek word is splenizomai, and it didn't mean the heart. It meant the center of who you are. Like, has it ever bothered you? Oh, it just gives me a, I just feel sick in the stomach about what happened. It's the same kind of language. But it makes me sick to the point that I'm going to act upon it. And that's what we see in Jesus, by the way. Here we see it in Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so what did Jesus do? Oh yeah, he left this place of perfection. He left a place of glory. He left a place of majesty. He left a place where he is truly being worshiped and adored so that he could come to a place where he's not going to be worshiped. He's not going to be adored. And he's going to be beaten and broken and bruised because you matter. He had compassion. It moved him to do something. If you go through the Gospels and you're going Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're trying to check out how many points do you see where someone else is serving Jesus. It's not a lot. It's not a bunch. What we truly see is Jesus is the one pursuing to serve and care and help for others. Okay, the lady washed Jesus' feet with her hair, but we see Jesus is the one that went to his apostles and he washed their feet. John 4, he beats the woman to the well and waits for her so he could talk to her and share who he is with her. He travels from one side of the sea to the other side, or this side of the lake to that side of the lake. Hey, let's not go around Samaria. Let's go through Samaria because I got some stomping grounds. I'm looking to connect with all these people. I'm looking to share and love and care and serve all these people. He's the one that is initiating all of these incredible moments, and he pursues after you today because you matter to him so greatly. So when we serve, we get to be an extension of the gospel. Secondly, we get to show other people, hey, you matter to me. You matter to Jesus too. But then number three, when we serve, we get to fulfill our purpose to love as God loves. Because it's kind of funny, sometimes we want to love those that are like us, or it's convenient, where we want to, not just indiscriminately. Notice in verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? Again, love God. Greatest commandment. Second, like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And this would have been beyond a modern progressive ideology. This would have been staggering. Of all people, those people, Samaritans? No way. You got to be kidding me. By the way, Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. It went both ways. There's a history here. Yes, there's beyond decades. There's some centuries of some ugliness here in this nation. There, it's not centuries. It's not a millennia. It's millennias. When there's still an expression of from the river to the sea that's still going on today, there's some ugliness there. Why? Why is there this crazy, beyond crazy to us, history and emotion? And why on earth is that? Well, if you go from when there is the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, northern kingdom is Israel, southern kingdom, Judea. Whenever those powerhouses came through, wiping out everything, when they would come through and they would pillage, plunder, and rape, and enslave, the northern kingdom would be like, whoa, hey, you don't have to do that with us. We will bend the knee. You can come right through. If you need our help, we'll join with you to even demolish our own people. And so the Samaritans, the northern tribe, they're people that went and mixed and intermarried with other people groups and would even join those massive powers that would come through and just demolish Judea. So it's not just, hey, you hurt us. You turned your back on us. You destroyed us. And you destroyed your relationship with God. You turned on our God. You turned on our religion. You turned on us. You turned on everything of what it means to be a Jew. So now you're Samaritans. Oh, they'd call them half-breeds. They would call them dogs because you're not truly of us anymore. So there is some ugliness there. And that's who Jesus uses in this illustration to show compassion, to show people that they matter, to love as God loves indiscriminately and without question. Oh, it's just massively confusing to that crowd. And today it might be confusing to us too. Because if we could paint the picture of what does that look like today, I think we take Paul's words here in Romans chapter 3. Paul says, and he doesn't come up with this on his own. He says, no, as the Old Testament, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. What does that mean? You don't. I got to get all four crowds. You don't deserve a good Samaritan. You're not good enough, let alone a holy, righteous, good, loving, compassionate, caring God that created everything so that he could have a relationship with us, that we would just shake our fist at him and say, oh, that's not good enough. I want to do my own way. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve that kind of goodness from a God like that, because none of us have right standing. None of us are right with God. We do not have righteousness within us. Oh my goodness. Paul helps us to understand today exactly what was going on in that day with the Good Samaritan. But Jesus, for some reason, says, you do matter, and I do care, and I will do whatever it takes because I have that much compassion for you. So what does that look like? We got to go 12 verses later. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not because of what you have done. It's not because you're good enough. You didn't merit or earn or fill whatever check in the boxes and all these things. No, God has to. No, it says because of our faith in Jesus. It's what he has done for us. And in case you think there's some that might get another, way around to getting this favor from God, he says, no, this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. There is one and only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And here Paul is saying, amen. Verse 23, in case you forgot that moment just 13 verses ago, Paul reminds us, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Yet God in his grace, in his infinite love, and his abounding compassion and love for you, he offers us a different way. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. Freely of that you didn't do it. Jesus did it on your behalf. Makes us right in his sight. That's a word in many translations. This is NLT, New Living Translation. NLT says makes us right in his sight. A lot of others will say justified. Just as if I never sinned. Because the only way that we're made right in his sight is that we can be forgiven of our sins, which it says next, makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Golly. He's so good. So what does this mean about the Good Samaritan? How do we attribute it to that? You see, the Good Samaritan came at a time of that guy's greatest need. And Jesus says, no. I'm coming to you in your deepest, darkest, greatest of needs to make you right with God. The Good Samaritan brought this man to safety and to shelter. And Jesus says, no, I got a lot better place of safety and shelter. We like to call it heaven, but you can have it for eternity. the Good Samaritan paid the debts the man had accrued. Jesus says, no, 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 I'll pay for your greatest of debts. I'll pay for your debt. And the cost of that, by the way, is me showing my compassion because I went to a cross. Oh, it's so good. So what's Jesus saying? That Jesus is the true Good Samaritan who shows that you matter. He shows that you he loves you by loving and serving those who absolutely do not deserve it. Oh, and then it doesn't end there. It's not just this thing to receive and go, oh, that's really nice. No, he then says, hey, as I have served you, as I have sacrificed myself for you, now I call you to sacrifice. I call you to serve others, which is the very next thing. You become like Jesus when you serve. When you serve, you become like Jesus. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Remember the Muslim woman who said to Brennan, it was like getting a hug from Jesus. It was like getting loved by him. It was like being in his presence when she came to worship with those folks. We get to become like Jesus when we serve others just as Jesus served us. Mark 10:45 says it like this. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He says, go and do likewise. Serve others as I have served you. We get to join him on that mission. But what if? This is a what if. What if you're saying, oh, but I have some conditions. I will serve, but I want these other things first. Let me just share a few that I wrote down. I will only serve. I will only serve those that deserve it. Well, who's really going to deserve your service? I will only serve those that are like me. That doesn't sound like service. It sounds more like partiality. I only want to serve when it's convenient. Well, when is it really going to be a convenient time for you to put others before yourself when it's convenient? I will only serve if it's in my gifting, because I don't want to do anything outside my gifts. In other words, when I serve, I only want to serve in an area where I get to rely upon myself rather than ever rely upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit to work through me. Ooh. What if you're saying, I only want to serve, and though you would never verbalize it out loud, I only want to serve because I want to get something from God. Because I need something. I need him to answer this prayer request that I have, this concern, this fear, this whatever it may be. I'm really only going to serve this so then I can kind of leverage God to therefore answer and do the thing that I want him to do. Oof. Can I remind you that you already got his love, you already got his attention, you already got his grace, you already have his goodness. He's already there for you, cheering you on. So let me respond to each of those conversely. I'd say serve anyways. Because when you do, when you serve others and you let them know, hey, I do care for you and I'm going to allow you to go before myself, that God will show you just how much he has served you and you'll find joy in serving others. A mentor of mine used to say, joy in the Lord comes in serving. I think you'll find that. Serve anyways, because when you do, God will put you in situations to serve people unlike you. And the coolest thing will happen. You'll be like, oh my goodness, I love them. Oh, they're fantastic. And you never would have known that had you just stayed comfortable where you were. Serve anyways, because when you do, God will use inconvenient times to build your character, to build you into who he's creating you to be. And he uses inconveniences. Serve anyways, because when you do, you move from trusting in self to trusting in him. And man, when that happens, boy, you really grow. Serve anyways, because when you do, well, God changes your heart. He transforms your heart into more like him. So yes, every week we have opportunities here in the church. We have wonderful, great ministry opportunities to serve in the community as well. But when we serve others, we get to become more like Jesus. We get to fulfill our purpose to love as God loves. We get to show people that they matter. We get to be an extension of the gospel. And so this last little part, I just want to say, you already do this really well. Like, Gold Star well. You guys are just phenomenal at this. Can I brag on you guys for just a moment? Because this is what I've heard from some of you about others of you. We have a class called Getting to Know. And so Pastor Brian and myself, we tag team that. And we'll hear people's story about what brought them to ACC, but what kept you here, what got you interested. And one of the first ones that we heard at our last one that we had, this person said, we were here like 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, and we got home, and in our front porch, in front of our door, there was this baked batch of goodies. Someone brought us baked goods, and there's a handwritten note about how much you guys appreciated having us come and be a guest and visit your church, and we were absolutely blown away. That happened because people serve. We have this great ministry called Moms to Moms that's every other Wednesday at 9:30. Just less than 2 months ago, we had two gals get baptized right behind Keenan there in the baptistry. And it was the most beautiful thing. They're crying. All of us are crying out here. It was so special as these moms bragged on God first and his goodness. And then they bragged on the ladies in the ministry. It was incredible to hear that. Oh, that was so beautiful. All because people serve. There's a gal that said, I don't know what I would do without my Sunday morning group. We call them adult Bible fellowships, but my Sunday morning group, I've heard it about men's groups, about women's groups, about life groups, whatever the group is. I don't know what I would do without them. Oh, I've heard that so many times. It takes people to serve. Some middle schoolers came back from camp. I went to go pick up my middle schooler, and it was the cutest thing. I said, hey, what was the best part about camp? And after the whole, teaching and zip line and the worship and this and that, the coolest thing was to hear middle school boys start to brag on one another, to lift up other kids. In particular, one boy said, oh, Ben Applequist is awesome. And then a little voice said, I love Ben. And I just want to say, I love Ben, because it was my boy that said it. And I'll never forget the tone of his voice. He's standing to the right of me when he said it. I'll never forget that moment. Ben, by the way, it was a senior last year. He just graduated, gave up part of his summer to serve your kids, my kids too. It was the sweetest thing. It may have been a little bit of a brief moment, the sweet factor, because immediately after that, they started talking about, oh, you should see him throw a dodgeball. He can throw it so fast. And then they talked about some kid having a magnet of a face for dodgeballs that got pelted over and over again. But it was a sweet moment when it happened. It really was. It was precious to me. So I love Ben. I don't know. Oh, there he is. And he put his head down. Love you, buddy. Thank you. I came to help out with VBS. The week prior to VBS, we're trying to get the church all decorated, do all that kind of stuff. And next thing I know, I'm coming and I see all these people. I get my churchy stuff done first. I have built an in on doing this. Yes, my wife is the kids ministry director for the elementary age, so I kind of felt obligated. But let's not say that out loud. Anyways, and so I come and I was like, oh, hey, how can I help? And they say, hey, go to that hallway, go put up trees. And there's this voice. He's got a great voice, by the way. And he goes, Jeff, that's the lousiest looking tree I've ever seen. And he was right. And I don't want to name names, but Pastor Dave, he beat me here. He was right about the tree. That guy beat me here. I don't know how many days. He probably was here longer than I stayed on some of those days. Oh, and by the way, during the week, he came and he's a phenomenal theatrical actor, person, whatever you call it. Whatever, he acted in the dramas, and he is so good, head and shoulders above everybody else. That guy is amazing at that stuff. And I got to thinking, besides not having the gift of encouragement, Dave, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Day after day, time after time. And then, because I was like, your kids aren't here. Your kids are, well, much older. Your grandkids aren't here. They live up north. I'm like, what's going on? And then it's like, hello, Jeff, like my dumb moment. And I was like, oh, some of your kids are here, and he cares about your kids, and he cares about your kids to hear the gospel. He cares about your kids to hear the goodness of Jesus. And so they took their time before they busted out of here. It blew my mind. And I looked around, and it wasn't just Pastor Dave. There's however many other people. I'm going, you don't have kids, you don't have grandkids, but it's because of yours. What I'm getting to is this, the hundreds of kids at VBS, the cup of coffee that you grab, those communion cups that you just grabbed moments ago. You walked into the door to a clean building, a great kids ministry, an awesome student ministry, Sunday morning groups and awesome worship services, all these things and all the lights, all the sound stuff, everything. It requires so many serving behind the scenes, and we are just absolutely loaded with incredible people that serve. So again, I want to say thank you. And for the ex-Muslim now, for the moms to moms gal, the lady that talked about the ABF, they remind us that in Jesus, there are no small acts of service. There are no small, oh, well, I just do kid control, or I just do a door, I just do these cups, there isn't any of that. There is none of that. There are no small acts. Do not minimize what God can accomplish in and through you just in the, yes, small acts of service, but don't minimize it. There are no small acts. Jesus can accomplish so much in and through you. So the last thing I want to say is this. ACC, we have a serving motto. It's easy for them, hard for us. The last service was absolutely packed. This service, very, very full as well. And we're in summer. Do you realize that a year ago from right now, we had about 120-ish or so less people? We have more people now than we did a year ago. And so we need more people to serve, but we also need more room here in this room. And so one of the things that we're calling, asking people to do, easy for them, hard for us, will you be willing to go and rotate and going to pre-fill the overflow, to pre-fill the cafe? Thank you for those that already did it. You guys are awesome. Would you be willing to be on a rotation to do that so that we can make it as easy for the guest, as easy for the longtime attender, as easy for whoever it may be, because I want to allow others before myself. So I'm going to make it easy for them, hard for us. Maybe it's to come to Saturday night. Our Saturday night service is at 5 o'clock, and it's awesome what God's doing, but maybe that's what you and your family could make a missional move and say, hey, I will invest. I want to see Saturday service take off just as the Sunday services. We have three on Sundays. I want to see that take place on Saturdays as well. So I'll make a missional move. As for me and my house, for the next 6 months, 9 months, whatever it may be, we want to be a part and help Saturdays take off. Pastor Carter at our Westside campus, by the way, he and Mel is more Mel than him. They just had a baby like 6 days ago. So we're super excited for Mel and Carter. Can we give it up for Mel and Carter? So happy for you guys. They're watching online. Oh, they're the best. They're so sweet. They're doing everything within their power to grow that church, by the way. So get it? They had a baby. Okay, never mind. That was, ba-da-ching. Where were you on that one there, King? Anyways, maybe it's say, hey, we want to see what's happening here to be able to take place at Westside. And so our family, hey, it's not going to be Saturdays. We're willing to go serve. We're willing to go be a part of what God's doing there. Whatever it may be, there are no small acts in Jesus. However God's leading you, would you say yes to that? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for being more than just a good Samaritan. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for paying for our debts, that you made us new, that you give us yourself, you give us heaven, you give us forgiveness, you give us so much. Help us to join you in serving others and grow us with a heartbeat to follow you, and wherever it may be, again, may you give us clarity as to the next step and give us courage to follow it through. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.